Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
This is St. Louis's News Radio.
Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends.
And this is Overtime.
Let's do it.
You know, when you hear that organ, you can almost smell the ballpark, you know?
I love it.
Good morning, Charlie Brennan.
Good morning, Debbie. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, Amy Markscores.
Good morning and happy home opener day.
Yay, happy home opener. You know, I'm looking through my Facebook feed of my Facebook memories, Charlie, and there's a bunch of pictures of you and me over the years doing events at Kegs and Eggs. So we won't be doing that this year, sitting in the tent and talking to folks. But yes, this music does make me feel like I can still smell the ballpark smells.
It's kind of the first day of the new year, and Noam Chomsky said that sports is the opiate of the masses, and I could use an opiate, so bring them on.
I think we all could.
Cut that tape. We're going to use that as a promo. You know, I will say this is a life hack for those of you who love the ballpark. If you go to a ball game, and maybe it's a little bit on the chilly side, right? But you're out there, you're eating your hot dogs. You get back to your car. If you turn on the heated seat of your car, if your car is outfitted with those, you will smell the ballpark again.
Heated seats are the best invention in cars since cup holders.
They are.
They're the best.
Amazing.
And I could use an opiate. Sorry, that's going to be my phrase of the day.
After this winter, I think I speak for many. I think some people have beaten us to the punch, to be honest with you.
I think so.
This is a terrible conversation.
I know. I am just feeling a little giddy this morning because it is opening day and the sun came out. So, you know, all kinds of things to be excited about.
That's right.
Of course, 11 o'clock, ladies and gentlemen, if you're just tuning in, that's when Tom is going to start the pregame coverage with Kevin Wheeler and Dave Glover. That should be interesting. And then we'll have all kinds of pregame activities leading up to the first pitch. Here's our first topic du jour for overtime. President Biden today will announce a half dozen executive actions focused on curbing gun violence, including regulations on home assembled firearms and the nomination of a gun control advocate to head the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms and Explosives. The first major actions Biden will take as president on guns, which is a top Democratic priority that has only become more urgent after recent mass shootings, Boulder, Colorado, Atlanta area. Charlie, your thoughts on these?
Well, I'm not against the president taking action to make the streets safer. I don't know if these two actions are going to make a significant dent, but even if they make a small one, that would be good. I don't think that the vast majority of firearm owners would be impacted greatly by, if at all, by what the president's doing. Sending a gun control activist to the ATF, not against that either. And I'm not sure how anyone can complain if the president is using executive action. After all, President Trump used that method of changing rules quite a bit when he was president. But don't forget, everybody, every single time that the president or somebody else talks about restrictions on firearms, that only increases gun sales. And in fact, this morning, NPR is reporting that Asian Americans are buying guns in greater numbers now. How about that? Nor does it change other rules and aspects of the legal system that increase gunfire. I'll give you one example. I mean, just last week, we had a guy in St. Louis by the name of Antione Miller, who had been in jail on rape charges of raping a 14-year-old in 2016. And the judge, Thomas McCarthy, freed him from jail. And then another judge, Paula Bryant, ordered that he no longer had to be under house arrest. He was awaiting his trial for rape. And guess what? He killed his neighbor with a firearm. So it's more complicated than just taking a few actions at the White House level. On the local level, I think people who are accused of violent crimes should be behind bars. And by the way, he's accused of killing his neighbor while wearing the GPS ankle bracelet in St. Louis.
It is more complicated, yes, than taking a few actions. I believe there are 6 actions total proposed by Biden, but 2 actual pushes for gun control by executive action. And they're not extreme by any means. One action would be to create a model red flag legislation for states, which I think is a good idea, because when you look at the shooters in Boulder or at Parkland, there were many red flags and action wasn't taken. Of course, you need to make sure that with a red flag law, for instance, there's due process where it's close acquaintances can say, hey, this person's guns should be confiscated for, say, 72 hours while they undergo due process. So you do want to make sure that due process is in place. But I don't believe they're as extreme as what Kamala Harris proposed when she was still on the debate stage for president, where she wanted to repeal laws through executive order, which you cannot do. So they're not as extreme, perhaps, as what we've heard in the past.
All right, we need to take a break and take a look at traffic and weather. And when we come back, we're going to get to talk about filibusters and low turnout. Stay with us here on KMOX. It's 8:42. I'm Debbie Monterey, along with Amy Marks-Kors and Charlie Brennan. I have to be honest, guys, when all of this talk was coming up about filibusters, I didn't really understand why they keep talking about filibusters. Because when I think about a filibuster, I think you want to put a pin in this action on legislation, and you've got to recite Shakespeare and stay up all night and keep talking and never go to the bathroom because you're really dedicated to stalling this. But it turns out, nope, that's not even the case. You can somehow put a pin in it and go home and, you know, hang out all weekend. So anyway, I guess that's one of the big fights right now over the filibuster, that you should actually have some energy mm-hmm. in the talking filibuster. Right, and not just go, nope, and then go home. But Democratic Senator Joe Manchin said yesterday that under no circumstances would he vote to eliminate or weaken the legislative filibuster, his most definitive statement yet on this topic, dealing a blow to Democrats' hopes of pushing major aspects of President Biden's agenda through Congress. Amy, any thoughts about what the filibuster is now and how this might impact the Biden agenda?
Yes, I am pro-filibuster, and Senator Manchin wrote a nice op-ed for the Washington Post proving that Ben Sasse isn't the only senator giving civic lessons. I highly recommend people read it. I think it's a very nice and fair, objective look at the filibuster, because we already have a House of Representatives that is partisan. Hyper-partisan, Democratic, emotional, and Democratic in the small d sense. And the Senate is puts the brakes on things a little bit. It is protection against the more pure Democratic whims of the House of Representatives. And as Senator Manchin said, and I'll just read his words. He said, if we eliminated the filibuster, a new and dangerous precedent will be set to pass sweeping partisan legislation that changes the direction of our nation every time there is a change in political control. The consequence will be profound. Our nation may never see stable governing again. And that's what the filibuster prevents. It prevents huge partisan swings in legislation every 2 to 4 years. It should be difficult to pass legislation. It stabilizes a government.
Well, I tend to disagree. I'm not for eliminating it, but I don't agree with the way you characterize it. You said that the filibuster puts brakes on things a little bit.
It's a lot of it.
I mean, it totally stalls everything.
Yeah,
I mean, the Congress has done nothing. And there are some popular measures which, because of a few Republican senators, for example, and I know Democrats use the filibuster too, so they're very hypocritical on this measure because they liked it when they needed it, and now that they don't want it, they want to mm-hmm. eliminate it. But for example, background checks on firearms. I mean, nothing in this country gets 85% approval but that, and yet we still don't have that in all cases. Now, I know people are going to call the wine line and say, well, I went to a gun show and I bought a firearm and had to have a background check. That's true if you buy from a federally licensed firearm dealer. But if you buy it from Joe Johnson across the street, you don't have to have the background check. And that's the key. So the filibuster has prevented some measures like that. Now, I'm going to flip-flop on you guys because I think that the filibuster will also prevent some wild swings that aren't that popular among many people, like statehood for Puerto Rico. I don't think most people want that, and I think that that was on track until Joe Manchin yesterday said that he would, under no circumstances, abolish the filibuster. So hate to go wobbly on you. There are pros and cons to it, but I will admit the filibuster has made our National Assembly, the legislature, a do-nothing body for the past 15, 20 years.
Do you think that people, Amy, should have to have a stake in their filibuster and, like, keep talking? You know, because I think that city council meeting, you know, the legendary one where somebody was filibustering something and had to pee in a garbage can because, you know, you're trying to stop legislation.
Irene Smith.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, right. You can have, I'm not against a talking filibuster, but yes, there are, you know, costs and benefits to any move. But look at how when was the last time we had a presidential election that wasn't the most important presidential election in American history? It shouldn't be that way. The executive branch has gotten out of control. And the same thing, you want to make something, our politics even more partisan? Oh my goodness, if we were to eliminate the filibuster from the Senate, Congress would swing back and forth even more than the executive branch, and it would be incredibly destabilizing. It's all about power, which is why Dick Durbin can say that the Senate would collapse without the filibuster and then suddenly say, oh, no, we should get rid of it. It's just about power.
I don't know if all legislation is destabilizing. That's what our friend Amy is saying. Oh, if you have legislation, if things pass, that'll be destabilizing.
No, that's
really?
Not what I'm saying.
Background checks are destabilizing?
No.
I mean, you're presenting worst case scenario. You know, but
yes,
that's not necessarily what's going to happen. Don't forget the voters. If the voters don't like it, if they don't like what happens, they can vote out their senators every 6 years.
They can't,
so
but I don't want to be mischaracterized.
It's not like you're giving them unbridled power.
All right, we need to take a break. By the way, if you're out and about today, head to the Dome and get your vaccination. Walk-ins are now welcome. Go get your COVID vaccine. It's 8:48. It's 8:52. Charlie Brennan, Amy Marks Kors. I'm Debbie Monterey. Well, yesterday was the first day of the big FEMA vaccination at the Dome, and it didn't quite go as well as the organizers had hoped because they said they could do up to 3,000 people a day, and they gave just over 700 doses. This is an 8-week vaccination site, so they're going to be doing this 7 days a week for 8 weeks. Now they're telling people, Amy, that you don't even need to, you don't need an invitation or an event code or register, just show up. Why do you think people are not going? Are they not wanting a vaccine, or do people just really not know about it yet?
I would hope that they know about it. I'm not sure if they're getting vaccines now that maybe are available closer to home or closer to their homes. Yeah, I don't know. I would imagine that there's not one answer to this, but that there are many reasons people aren't heading over to the Dome. I just don't know what all of those are.
Well, we had Michael Steinberg of the Steinberg Group on yesterday, and he has opened up Chesterfield Mall with lots of parking nearby that's free and all that for people who want a vaccine from St. Luke's. So it's not the only game in town, of course, and I do believe a lot of people traveled far, probably more people than we know, went into rural Missouri and rural Illinois to pick up their vaccines, and there may not be as many unvaccinated people as we think.
Yeah, or maybe all of the people who really wanted one already travel to find one. But
yeah, well, I hope more people want one because that's the way we get this economy going, getting more people into Busch Stadium and on cruise lines and in classrooms. I hope people are just not skipping it.
Well, I do think that sometimes information falls through the cracks because I just had somebody who is a person who listens to this station all the time say, can people just walk up to Forest Park Community College and get a vaccine there? Just asking for, you know, employees. And I'm like, just go to the Dome. Go to the dome. Mm-hmm. So I do think that maybe it'll just take a while to get that message to folks. And hey, if you want to go on a cruise, you're probably going to need to get that vaccine. Carnival CEO Arnold Donald wants cruises okayed by July 1st. Norwegian Cruise Lines is seeking permission from the CDC to resume trips from U.S. ports as of July 4th. And that would require all passengers and crew members to be vaccinated at least 2 weeks before the trip. Norwegian will cruise at 60% capacity. You feel comfortable doing that yet, Charlie?
Yes, and I think Arnold Donald is exactly right. The CDC has to okay that. That's a beleaguered industry that, man, it's on its back right now. And if people have vaccines, staff and passengers, I don't know why the CDC would delay any action at all.
I'm personally not a cruise person, but I absolutely want cruises to be up and running and to get the hospitality industry back up, to get all those people who work in that industry to have their jobs back and people can travel the world. Yeah, I'm excited about it. I'm just not personally a cruise person.
Quickly, before we run out of time, some people have balked at the thought of corporations having to pay more money for President Biden's $2 trillion infrastructure plan. The man who could probably fund half of it is Jeff Bezos of Amazon. But he's expressing support for this plan. And he says Amazon was supportive of a rise in the corporate tax rate to pay for it. Amy, is he unusual? Do you think other top earners will fall in line?
I think he's a bit unusual, but I also think he can afford it. I don't necessarily think it's out of magnanimity that he is willing to pay this tax rate. I think he knows I can afford it and others can't. Too bad for them.
Well, of course, in the state of Missouri, Amazon pays the state sales tax 4.225%, but it doesn't pay the local taxes. So he's dodging taxes in many areas, and he gets big tax breaks for his warehouses. So I think he's kind of a hypocrite to say, hey, yeah, raise everyone's corporate tax rate, while he enjoys all sorts of tax advantages that the brick and mortar guy doesn't.
Well, What's on Tap is sponsored by Indeed.com.
Wow, what a day. We've got Ryan Recker, Major Garrett, Bill DeWitt, Ricky Horton, John Rooney, and others. It's opening day. We'll be talking about it after 9 this morning on KMOX.
Bye.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.